Now that's what I call RDU, a New Zealand Music Month special, a 21-episode live podcast series that'll feature discussions from an array of key players across the local music scene, including Ototahi's musical trailblazers, RDU present and past hosts, plus members from RDU's 45-year-old established community. Proudly made with support from 12 Bar. Now that's what I call RDU. 2000 to 2009.
We're here.
Yes, we're here. We're queer, full of existential fear. I am so excited this morning to be talking with Spanky Moore. Good morning.
Hey, morning, guys. How are you?
Oh, fantastic. And honestly, it's long overdue you being on our show.
I know. So. I feel so privileged to have the man himself, Spanky Moore, on the other end of the line.
You guys do a great job.
Oh.
You know, normally, you know, you hand over a breakfast show to someone, you think, God, they're rubbish. But you guys have done an amazing job.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
We'll take it.
Thanks for doing your thing.
Oh, wow. We really appreciate that. That means a lot.
We're here, of course, talking about the 2000s as we move through the ages. For now, that's what I call RDU, sponsored by 12 Bar, of course. and so, firstly, where were you? Let's set the scene. Where were you in the early 2000s?
Yes.
In 1999, I moved from Nelson to Christchurch with my band and a child security van that we paid $700 for to come to Christchurch to make it big. I was in a band called Clown Dog. And I came down to my parents' demise. You know, they wondered what the heck we're up to. And I went down and lived in a kind of squalor on a Worcester Street flat. Mm-hmm. And what happened? I think the big thing that happened for me was that we entered the Roundup band competition run by RDU.
Yes.
And we won the band competition. And the big story is this, guys, is that Shapeshifter came second.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
You heard it here first, guys. If Clown Dog was still around, they'd be bigger than Shapeshifter.
Well, this was a massive deal because the judges, they used to get back at the Roundup band competition days, which is a pretty important event in terms of the Christchurch music scene. They had, for the finals, they get all of these judges, right? Huge amount, because they wanted to keep everyone happy. I guess.
Yeah,
they had
of course.
All these judges. The judges spent, I don't know, maybe it was half an hour, 40 minutes, fighting over, because the more electronic people were fighting for
Shapeshifter,
the more indie people were fighting for us. And it was the Shapeshifter's first gig. I mean, this was the first time that like live drum and bass had been heard. It was amazing. You know, to just rip the lid off the whole thing.
Yeah.
But the argument turned. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
How did we win? How could we beat Shapeshifter?
Well,
because they said, interesting point, they said Clown Dog is a genuinely unique expression of music. Shapeshifter is just playing everything we've heard before, but it's live.
Wow. Wow.
Cutting.
If that is both the greatest compliment and one of the worst insults I've heard.
Yeah.
Perfectly.
Well, I mean, Shapeshifter, of course, have developed a bit since then, but I'm not saying that was the case then, but it was a very unpopular decision in many ways, and a bit awkward when you win, and only half the people cheer, and the other half are quite angry. But that was basically kind of set up my kind of time in Christchurch in the 2000s, being in a band. So we kind of went from obscurity to being a relatively well-known band. Mm-hmm. It also meant I started doing the Saturday Breakfast Show on RDU. And do you know, there were three of us that hosted that show. It was me and our drummer, Idiot Pants, but also Parks, who was from Parks and Lady Six.
Ah.
We used to go in a van together, and we used to do that show together. So that was how I kind of got started in the Christchurch music scene, was through that band competition.
Very cool. Well, I do have a couple questions about Clown Dog before we play our first song, which is by Clown Dog. I was reading up on a little bit about this band, and I've heard through the grapevine that one of your I guess staples or something
Schticks.
You would do to really hype up the crowd would be throw meat into the audience. Is this true? And if so, I'm going to need a bit more explanation.
Have you ever read those history books where you hear of great ethical injustices that happened in the past? And then people say, but you've got to understand, back then it just seemed like a good idea. Like, you know, like everyone had a slave. I mean, I know it sounds bad now, but it was a little bit Well, people ate meat back then. I know that no one in the RDU audience does, but back then people ate meat, and it was. So we had a song. It wasn't a very good song. It was barely a song. Called the Sausage Song.
Uh-huh.
And I think when we were about 16 or 17, I produced a sort of a 20 saveloys and hurled them into the audience. And then this became a bit of a stick. and it escalated where you moved on to chickens. And I did try, what's that sausage meat that you put in meatloaf? That was a very bad idea. It got stuck in the grate of the microphone.
Yeah.
And I don't think anyone was ever into it, but everyone certainly...
they remembered
it. There was a look of horror.
Yeah.
When you pulled out a piece of meat, there was always a look of horror where they were like, I forgot it, this band.
Yeah.
That came unstuck, actually, when we... Because the band competition used to be done at the Ducks Deluxe, which was a vegetarian restaurant.
Of course.
Yes.
Yeah, and so the first time we did that, that caused a palaver because you shouldn't have had any meat on premises for their licensing. So we got strictly told off. So the next time we threw soy sausages, which were hard to source and quite expensive at that time. But yeah, I don't know. Yeah, that's kind of why we did it. People, anyway, it's outlived our music, that's for sure.
I mean, it's what a legacy to have. Well, let's listen to one of the songs by Clown Dog. This one is Mates with Marxists. It's the first song you've picked for us. Do you want to tell us a little bit about this track before we give it a spin?
Yeah, sure. So when we won the Roundup Band competition, RDU, part of the prize pool was you got to record an EP.
Mm-hmm.
So we recorded an EP called The Cantankerous Mainstream, and this is sort of the main song that RDU played off it. But not only that, it was also the one that featured on a compilation called Brat, which was a big compilation album done by Carla Rotha, which massively was a big part of launching a huge amount of bands in Christchurch. So this was our track that featured on that as well. So I'm not saying it's a particularly great song, but I think it kind of has to represent, if I'm sharing, my inroad into my place in New Zealand music.
So I love that. There you go.
Awesome. Well, this is Mates with Marxists by Clown Dog. Let's give it a listen.
$2.50, thought I was helping some farmers, and you could slide me out. The last bit of the day, I bought that magazine for $2.50. Seems a bit deep for me, and I'm pissing out of business. What's in my fault? What's in your fault? How are you to know? Communists down the road, socialist children holding hands all over the globe. Block the doors and block the roads. I think we're alone now. I know there's communists down the road, socialist children holding hands all over the globe. I know it's strange, but it's still nice to know. I think we're alone now. I know there's communists down the road, socialist children holding hands all over the globe. Lock the doors and block the roads. I think we're alone now. I think we're alone. I know there's communists down the road, socialist children holding hands all over the globe. I know it's strange.
That was just wonderful. I threw a couple of Brathurst at Ben just to really set the scene in the studio. And it was wonderful. What a great song. Thank you very much, Spanky.
Yeah, well, you can imagine, though, that beating Shapeshifter, you can see the issue, can't you?
Yeah.
You can feel the tension in the room.
Most definitely, yeah. I feel like, and I put headphones in, so in one ear I had this, and one ear I had Shapeshifter, just so I could really, you know, get myself in the zone.
Yeah.
It was good.
I did suggest that collab with them, and they never got back to me.
Oh, no. Well, hey, there's still time. There's never time. You never know.
And speaking of time, we're moving through the ages, of course. You were an RTU host for a waste of time.
Yes.
How was that, and how was it compared to, I guess, what we're up to now?
As you know, like, radio kind of changes in terms of how people relate to it and online and all that stuff. But it was some of the best times of my life. Like, it was so good. It was, I had worked with amazing producers, but one of the things around the RD audience, which I don't think people always appreciate, is there's a legitimate kind of community going on as people listen. There's this strange mix of eclectic music that goes together that shouldn't really go together. But it's just a really special station.
Yeah.
Because I think if you go around the world, you're not going to find such a weird, many weird eclectic stations like RDU kind of there. So I had just the most amazing time. I think I probably did about 2,000 or 3,000 interviews over my time. On RDU, I got to talk to people who you never would get to talk to. But in terms of music, RDU is sort of like the incubator for a huge amount of artists where they first get played.
Mm-hmm.
And you hear a lot of artists that you'll never hear anywhere else. Mm. So, if I could have a time machine and go back and spend a year doing that again, I would. It was just really, really special time.
That's so cool.
And fun to talk to all the musos that we got to talk to. I mean, New Zealand musos can be pretty hard to talk to, eh?
I mean,
you said it, not
you know,
me.
We're still in the job, so, you know, we have no opinions on that.
I do, and they can be really hard.
There's two things. Can I tell you about two things that New Zealand musicians will do in interviews?
Yes.
Okay. First thing they'll do is they'll desperately beg you for an interview, even though you've never heard of them. So some folk band from Tauranga says, we need to get on board, right?
Uh-huh.
And so then they turn up, and five of them move into the studio, and you think, oh my goodness, what have I done? And then when you ask them a question, they'll answer nothing. They're the most boring band in the world. They start talking to each other, they ignore you, they start laughing at you and treating you like you're an idiot. And the other one is that no matter what question you ask, and Diggs from Shapeshifter was amazing at this, no matter what question you ask, it somehow comes back to their upcoming gig and how everyone should rush out and buy tickets. Have you noticed that?
I've been laughing the whole time.
I can't. I've never heard something so relatable.
Too real.
Yeah, too real. Too real.
Ticket sales are good, but most people don't want to hear that in the morning. They'd like to hear something about something. But no matter what, it's like, you got to get down and buy some tickets, guys. You got to get this show. So it always felt like a bit like a wrestling match. But
yeah.
So important, the role RDU's played and the different sounds that have come through. So
definitely. Do you remember any bands that maybe you kind of started listening to for the first time when you were working at RDU, or, you know, you remember when their first song came on the playlist, and now you're like, oh my goodness, I see them everywhere. They're touring, you know, they're doing this, they're doing that.
Yeah, well, I guess, Shapeshifter is a classic one that was sort of like the biggie. But you always had the biggies of Cora and Fat Freddy's Drop,
which were the
trinity of rootsish music that people would turn up to. I think maybe it's less bands and more people.
Yeah.
So that there were people who popped up in very obscure little indie bands that should suddenly get playlisted big time. On RDU, and then you'd see them kind of producing things or popping up in other bands. But I didn't really go home and listen. Like, RDU was the only place where I got my music from. I didn't really listen to music outside of what I heard on my breakfast show. So that showed my certain disdain for musicians. It's not that I have emotional issues with my own musical career failing.
No, of course not.
Let's get to your second track, Gasoline Cowboy Stars. How come you picked this one?
I picked some tunes that I thought maybe would be very hard for people to get their hands on, but they were quite significant. And this is Joel Mulholland, who was an RDU. He was working recording ads for RDU for a long time before I turned up, so he actually was on staff. And then he played a very important band in Christchurch called Fuse, which pretty obscure, but great band. And then he went on to do the solo project called Gasoline Cowboy. And I've managed to get my hands on the original album, but it's never been released, this album.
Goodness
so
me.
I chose a song that used to be on the RDU playlist. I think it's called Stars, but the one I have just says track two. So I'm not too sure what it's called. But it was, I remember he came and he performed the song live on air. It's a wonderful tune. And can I listen out for this? A last thing. Listen out. It's amazing because in the song, he basically builds up the tension, and it's only at the end does he really release you with the hook, right at the end, this kind of chorus. But by then, there's so much vocoder, you can't hear any lyrics. It's geniusly frustrating. So
that's amazing.
Anyway, I might be the only person that owns this song. So have a listen.
Goodness me. Well, an exclusive. Let's have a listen to this wonderful track. I hear sound. What a track! Yes. Another fantastic song. I feel so blessed getting to hear a song that's so, you know, exclusive and hard to listen to. Goodness
yeah.
me.
Yeah, that's right. Well, and but it feels like a morning song, kind of, doesn't it?
Mm. Yeah.
You know, when you do breakfast for a while, you get a sense where you go, yeah, that's it. Like, someone could listen to that in the morning.
Yeah,
that's
definitely.
Like a morning song.
Definitely. Yeah, we like a mix of, like, some songs that'll keep you in that chill mood, and then at the end of the show, we'll add a few just to wake you up, you know? Just
yeah.
a couple of...
Just to ensure that we've done it.
Yeah, just a couple of bangers just to be like, you're awake now, you know? It's 9:30.
We've done our
Let's
job.
Get up.
Yes,
yeah.
exactly. of course, we're back here talking with Spanky Moore about the 2000s, and we're halfway through, so let's talk about 2005 through to 2010, right? So
yeah, that's right. That's how I've tracked this out.
Nice. Yeah. Well, that's good. That's
fantastic.
Good.
So, yeah, in that, I suppose, late thousands period, how was life changing for you?
Yeah, so I think, now, I'm terrible on years and working those things out, but I think once it kind of started to emerge, I started at RDU as the breakfast host proper with Wham-O in 2004. I did that for a year. And before I went and started studying theology and sort of that other part of my life, the religious life began to emerge. But, man, it was amazing with Wham-O because we did an incredibly controversial breakfast show that in hindsight may have been a bad idea, but everyone was... It's good that someone tried it. Do you know
yes.
what I mean?
Yeah.
Someone tried it.
Is this was this the one where you would do love advice from Don Brash?
Yeah, I mean, that is just what I could mention, because it's sort of one of these things where, you know, when you have skeletons in your closet and you're like, I mean, when you work for the church, you sometimes go, I wonder if anyone has any recordings of those lying around.
Yeah.
What that might mean. it was amazing time of, like, we dived in deep and sort of into satire.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like totally amazing. But I think in terms of the other thing that was happening musically, which is what we're talking around here, is we did start to see both Shapeshifter, the Fat Freddy's drop, and then Cora, I think slightly later on, pop up. And I think the thing, we were moving into RDU's, what was it, 35th birthday? I can't remember if it was 30th or 35th. I'm sorry, I can't remember what it was. But it was this massive event that got put on. And we booked Fat Freddy's drop to play at the University Oval just before they were just blowing up. And then in the meantime, this is what music promoters try to do, people. You try to book a band that you think is going to be big, and then 6 months later they blow up, and you do very well because you got them much cheaper. Mm-hmm. And so we booked Fat Freddy's drop to play at the Oval for the birthday thing. They blew up. They became this massive sensation in the meantime. 10,000 people turned up to come and celebrate RDU's birthday and to see Fat Freddy's drop. And the track that, in my memory, that was the big one for them was Hope.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't just Hope, the regular version of Hope. It was a very particular remix. Because RDU would always sort of choose some of these more obscure remixes of popular songs to make yourself feel better about playing them. And so the tune, so I kind of selected this song. It was surely the biggest tune of the year, and it was amazing. It still makes me feel amazing when I hear just the way this remix sort of plays with Hope. Anyway, I remember when Fat Freddy's played at this RDU birthday event, they hadn't played Hope in ages. They mostly never played it, and then right at the end, you could hear they must have had a soft day and said, "Ah, we'll throw them a bone," and they began to play Hope, which was just sort of this most amazing moment to see sort of 10,000 people celebrating RDU. New Zealand music sort of going off. So that's the tune. I know I've kind of come into it earlier, but that's the tune I've chosen as Fat Freddy's drop, Hope, the Walking Man remix. I think that it's cool. It's so good. Oh, it's so good.
Wonderful. Well, I'm excited. I'm gonna close my eyes and I'm gonna imagine 10,000 people celebrating RDU while I listen to it.
Yes.
Yeah, let's give it a listen and then we will be back with Spanky Moore afterwards.
We'll be right back.
Another wonderful track picked for you guys by Spanky Moore. That was Hope, Three Generations Walking Remix by Fat Freddy's Drop. So, I wanted to ask you, Spanky, before we finish up with this segment, how do you think that RDU and music and the way people find music and get music is different now than how it was when you were DJing for RDU back in the 2000s?
I think, the guy I used to work with, Whammo, famous RDU breakfast yes. chap, he was always early into tech, and I remember he was podcasting our show back in 2004. He had a computer set up at home that was recording all the show and uploading it, and it was real legal grey territory, but I don't know if anyone was listening, but I remember RDU's always sort of been on the cusp of playing around with sort of new technologies and where those things move. But obviously, podcasting and Spotify and all that stuff has changed the way that people engage with radio.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the thing for me is I suffer by paralysis by analysis and kind of feel, you know, like overwhelmed by options.
Yeah.
And so I think one of the things that RDU offers is that both that sense of finding music that you would never find yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But do you know can I give you the human side of this? As I remember Whammo said this. He said, in the morning, people just don't want to be alone.
Yeah.
Like, they like to have someone who's there with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the other part, particularly like RDU being a local voice, both playing local music, but curating music, is hearing humans. And you do a great job of this, because it's really hard on a breakfast show to get your tone right and to know how to have fun, but how to read the room and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
People want to be around someone who's talking to them and with them. They feel incredibly connected to people who are on the radio.
Yeah.
You become their friends. It's a weird thing. I know it makes no sense. But that kind of mix of people who are choosing the tune that fits the mood, fits the weather, introducing people to stuff, but also talking to them and speaking to them and being their friends, I think is something that's very hard for Spotify to replace.
Undoubtedly.
But it's changing. I mean, I'm not saying it's not it's not different, but it's amazing. Every time you think the thing's going to die, back from the dead.
Right, yeah. Exactly. See? Right. Yeah, you're right. Something we talked about yesterday with James Meharry is the RDU filter and how you can curate music as much as you like, and it's never going to go away, of course, because you can't be out-digitalized or automated by someone.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
That sort of RDU edge that, of course, we love and hold and cherish today.
Because it makes no sense. Because if you listen to how tunes go back-to-back, logically, you'd say those tunes cannot be together.
Right? That makes
no sense. And yet there's sort of some kind of vibe where you're like, it fits. So, it's funny listening to RDU now, because I'm up in Nelson. You're like, oh, my goodness, it sounds just like RDU always has.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's like, there's just this thing. So, that's totally right.
That's so cool. Oh, well, that's wonderful.
Yeah, and what a lovely sentimental message for us to finish on.
I believe so.
And your final track is The Sneezers. Do you want to tell us why you picked this?
Good friend of mine, Tim Chesney, and also Ben Edwards, who's producer of Littleton Records. This is just a little song that they put out under the moniker of The Sneezers. I guess they submitted it. I think it was on a hit disc. No one's ever heard of The Sneezers since. They recorded it at the Sitting Room in Christchurch, which was quite a significant studio before Ben moved over to Littleton.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And do you know, I love this song, and it was a big hit on RDU, funnily enough. And this is classic what RDU does. It finds these obscure bands that will never do anything else, and those songs become hits for like a month or two. And I think this is just one of my favorite. It's just a beautiful song, and I thought no one else is going to pick this. But it was a really important song for RDU at the time. So it's sort of a way of honoring Ben and Tim, but also RDU's ability to pick plucky little bands and to say, let's put them on A-Rotate and give them a nudge for a while.
Hell
so
yeah.
This is in honor of all the garage artists working away, submitting their demos to RDU.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on to our show this morning, Spanky. I feel like I've learnt even more about the 2000s, and we really appreciate you taking some time out of your day to chat with us and bring us some amazing tunes.
Yeah.
And you're doing a great job. Keep it up. I'm really proud of what you're doing, and you're holding the mantle well. So, you know, it's not easy, and I hope everyone appreciates what you do every morning.
Oh, thank you very much.
Thank you, Spanky.
Far too nice to us. Let's play it out with this wonderful track that you've picked for us.
Right, see you guys.
See ya.
Mother said you were the one who broke her heart in two. A man of cloth and rusty black.
You've been listening to Now That's What I Call RDU, a retrospective series that dives deep into the stories, the people and the music that shaped RDU 98.5 FM, proudly made with support from 12 Bar. Now that's what I call RDU.